The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
The people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Don't buy anything based solely on tip or recommendation you hear. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the podcast, episode 531. It's the 13th of July, 2016. On the podcast today, I have Patrick Sang, chairman of upcoming IPO Vail International Group. The ticker will be, it's not listed yet, V-A-L-E, Vail. Now, Vail seek to invest in innovative and game-changing technologies that have a high growth potential. They're hoping to raise about 1.5 million, having been introduced to me via Sasha. Sasha Sethi, he's been on the podcast before. This is via Optiva Securities as well. And Sasha's been on before, and he's basically previously introduced the following companies: AsiaMet Resources, Barclay Energy, Tellu Energy, and Upland Resources. So a good stable of stocks there. So worth keeping an eye out for Vail. Also on the podcast, successful private investor Smudge Dan talks about the following stocks: Flying Brands, Mobility One, Westminster Group, Management Resource Solutions. Good ticker there. Mrs. That's a ticker for that, MRS. Also, Alan Green, CEO of Brand Communications. We talk about Theresa May, Sabian Technologies, Edenville Energy, and Andalas Energy and Power. And today's suggested penny stock with potential is from Ant and its Providence Resources, PVR. And they've been on the podcast before, and they have got a huge amount of assets there just offshore in Ireland. And the EGM coming up, I think it's the 4th of July, is it? 14th of July. They'll be raising money, and which will hopefully clear their debt there, and they will have a cash to play with to develop those resources. Now, you know, this is a company I have on my watch list and worth keeping an eye on. Like I said, they have a phenomenal amount of resources there, and I'll read out the more detail on that in the next few minutes. I've also got the broker buys and sells coming up.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me right now on the podcast is Patrick Sang, chairman of Vail International Group. Patrick, thank you for joining me.
Thank you, Justin.
Now, a lot of people listening thinking, Vail? Which, is that Valet or the big company? Or, we've not heard of Vail. So let's explain. You're not, as we talk, listed or floated as yet, are you?
No, not yet, Justin. So just a quick introduction and to explain where we are. Vail is Vail International Group. We are a new company. We're going through the process of trying to list on the standard list on the main market in London. It aims to, you know, generate returns for the shareholders through acquisitions of disruptive technology companies focusing on the financial sector in Europe and Asia. And obviously, they would have strong underlying fundamentals and clear drivers of growth. So we're looking just to finish off. So we're seeking to invest in innovative and game-changing technologies.
Yeah, so we're talking about this hot sector now called fintech, are we?
Well, the mandate is on finance, tech, and fintech. So all quite a wide range of potential projects we will be looking at.
Okay, all right. And take us through your background, Patrick. How come you are where you are today, and what brought you there?
Sure. So I'm a lawyer by background. I moved into finance in 2003, and I've been doing like angel investments and venture capital, you know, acquisitions and M&A work in Asia and the Middle East and also in Europe. So I do a lot of work between Asia and Europe. We do a lot of tech, apps, real estate, clean tech, a lot of, you know, various industries. And I'm based out of Hong Kong, but I spend like half my time also in London. So I fly between London and Hong Kong.
Okay, and who else is there with you at Vail?
Okay, so one of the things is for this particular group, we're very focused on, apart from the acquisitions, we also need a very good team behind us. So we have two other gentlemen. One is Simon Retter. So Simon is a very experienced corporate financier doing a lot of deals in the London Stock Exchange. He qualifies as chartered accountant in Deloitte. And we also have Malcolm Grote, who's a chartered accountant and also an MBA graduate. And he worked in PwC and also a lot of public companies in London. And he's also been chairing the audit committee of a listed private equity firm since 2013. So we're very focused on making sure the regulatory compliance and corporate governance is at a high level.
Okay, and so where are we now? I mean, do you have a date? Do you have a ticker code? Where are we now in respect to the float?
So the ticker code is VALE, V-A-L-E. We're still in the process of hearing from, you know, the UKLA on the final approval, but I see that to be quite imminent of when we will float. So it should be in the very short-term future.
Okay, and can you talk about finances in any way? How much you have, how much you're floating, what, et cetera?
So we're looking to raise £1.4 million. Mm-hmm. And we've already raised £500,000 already. So we have a lot of appetite, both from Europe and in Asia.
Cool. And I assume, you know, you're an acquisition vehicle there, and I assume you're looking all the time. And do you have your focus on certain company stocks at the moment, or when does that start, that process?
We've actually looked at 3 to 5 companies already. We haven't gone into very detailed talks, but just targeting, because we want to get the whole IPO up and running first before we talk to the companies formally.
Yeah, yeah. And just go through the criteria you're looking at again.
So obviously we're looking at the rapidly advancing technology space. The main thing that we're looking at is it has to be disruptive and game-changing innovation companies.
All right. And do they have to have revenue, profits, or what?
Not necessarily, but obviously potentials is a great thing. But of course, we would be probably looking at companies with revenues and profits.
Marvelous. So it's quite an exciting time. I mean, are you personally very excited here, Patrick?
Of course. I'm also putting in my own money.
Well, do you know what? I always like to hear that from, you know, someone on the board or chairman. I mean, when management have skin in the game, it shows, you know, they're taking the risk as well. So that's nice. It's aligned with shareholders. And I know lots of people like to hear that. Okay, so what's the next thing? I mean, obviously on the podcast today, so people keep on the lookout. What's the best way? Do you have a website? What's the best thing to look at?
We have a website, but I would like to probably update you once the IPO is up and running.
Marvelous. Well, Patrick, thank you for coming on. Is there any other thoughts you want to share before I say thank you? And I look forward to speaking to you again. But any other thoughts out there for now?
Yes, Justin. Just one thing that everyone's probably in their mind probably sick of right now is the whole Brexit issue. So one of the things I wanted to shed a bit of positivity to the whole landscape is that because of the current, I mean, what we've seen recently, there's two points I want to make. First of all, we've seen that there's obviously volatility in the stock market. But London being London and the international hub it is, you know, the UK and London will always come back, whether it goes up, down. But I think the UK will still be a very exciting and strong market. We've seen in the stock markets that they've already back to where they are pre-Brexit. And what we see is that it actually makes my job a lot easier now through non-European investors in Asia and the US and Australia, Africa and so forth, that because of the pound, they're getting a much better deal when they make investments directly in the UK stock market.
Yeah, and I suppose, like you said, you are, you know, was it Hong Kong based? And, you know, you've got a different perspective because at the moment, you know, a lot of people or doomsayers are, you know, Europe facing and they can't see the rest of the world, you know. And there's you coming from with a different perspective, knowing there's a massive world out there that the UK can do trade, you know, can trade with. And UK PLC is not just a European, you know, based entity. It can, and there's a wealth and a world of opportunities out there, aren't there?
Of course, and just to add on to what you just said, is that because we are a technology company, there are no barriers. We are looking to do global business, not just Europe.
Yeah, and that's the way forward, isn't it? I mean, you know, as we said, we are now all going online. We're doing more things online. You know, we rely on apps and the internet. And like I said, there are no barriers in that space. And so I think it's an exciting, you know, new frontier to break down there. And Patrick, it's lovely to speak to you. And please do come back on the podcast and update us, you know, when you have new news.
Thank you, Justin. It was a pleasure.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is successful private investor, and he's brought to light several small stocks that have done really well off the back of the podcast here. Smudge Dan, thanks for coming back on, Dan.
Pleasure, Justin.
Now, what are we talking about this time round? Because, first of all, let's cover a couple of stuff. What's doing well at the moment? Over the last few weeks, you mentioned a few. Are there any doing particularly well at the moment?
Well, there's been some developments on some of them. FBDU, which I mentioned a few months ago.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah, so that's been suspended pending a reverse takeover of a company
Stone
called...
Stonechecker, was it?
That's it. So we're waiting for that to come back. Hopefully that will be back in the next few weeks.
That was linked with feedback as well, wasn't that, Stonechecker? Is that right?
They sold the technology onto a private company, and then Flying Brands are basically buying that technology out. So I'm just be interesting to see, you know, what they've got lined up for that once it comes back.
Okay. And any others doing well at the moment, or have they pulled back? I know some of them have arisen, you know, aggressively, and obviously do a pullback at some of them, aren't they, you know?
Yeah. I mean, most of the other ones, I was thinking the other day, actually, I think every single stock that I've mentioned on the podcast over the time I've been doing it, I've still got a holding in all of them. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I mean, most of them are doing pretty well, actually.
Well, I'm glad to hear that, Dan, because if you'd said, what I like to do is come on, ramp them up, then get out, then I'd think, wow.
I'm still holding them, and I've still got very high hopes for Zimano. I think I mentioned that one last time around. I think that's just ludicrously cheap. So sooner or later, the market will wake up to that one.
Yeah, I think when you're investing, I personally, I never go for something that could turn me a profit in a couple of days or a week. You know, I always think, could this company have longer term potential? Because I think you know, no one really has control of the price in the short term. All you can hope is that, you know, there's a long term potential, can't you really?
Yeah, exactly. And I think...
Well, not long term, I mean medium-term potential, at least. You know, I never go into a company thinking, I'm only going to hold this for a couple of days or a week. I never do that, you know?
No. And I think, you know, as long as the business is kind of on an upturn, if things are progressing, and certainly with the case of Zimano, things are progressing, you know, the revenue's growing, the profitability's growing, the cash pile's growing, you know, and there is going to be a tipping point somewhere where people are going to realise how cheap it actually is. So... I've actually, since we last spoke, been adding more to my position there, and will continue to do so, I think.
Marvellous. All right. So what are you looking at today?
Well, a couple of others that I've been building quite a decent position in are, the first one is Mobility One, which is a company, the ticker is MBO.
MBO, yes, yeah. What are they doing? It's 3.6 pence, yeah.
Yeah, they're a Malaysian-based electronic transaction and payments company. Mm-hmm. And what I like about them is several things, actually. Their market cap is pretty low. You know, it's about 3.5 million at the moment. Certainly in comparison to the revenue they did, which has grown year on year. I think it increased 23% last year. It's up to £65 million. Mm. And especially in the current climate, obviously over the last couple of years, the Malaysian ringgit has deteriorated in terms of sterling. But with the sudden correction we've had post-Brexit, when you've got a big revenue like that versus a very tiny market cap, you know, that has a pretty big impact. Mm-hmm. So I think going forward, you know, we could see some pretty substantial jumps in profit. Also, in the last... Sorry, Karen.
I was asking, why is the... why are they turning over that much, not making a substantial profit? As cost of sales is quite high there, isn't it? It's 65 million turnover, cost of sales 61 million. So what do you know about the business?
Yeah, it's a low margin business, but the revenue is growing, and it's growing more and more. And I think, you know, with the exchange rate, with the growth that they've had, you know, we should be looking... for the current year to be knocking on the door of sort of 90 to 100 million pounds. And I also think that when it gets to that kind of level, you know, that's when some of the bigger boys might be interested in potentially taking over the company.
Yeah, look at their cash. The cash is quite good, isn't it? 2.2 million and on a market cap of what? You know, it's 3.8.
I mean, they've got about 1.8 million of debt as well, but that's come down as well in the last 6 months. So everything's kind of moving in the right direction. The shares are pretty tightly held. I mean, there's 78% of the shares are held by notifiable holders, and 60% of that is held by the board. So the free float's pretty small, and it's just one of those ones that is kind of really off the radar for most private investors. But I think it's one that could do very well.
Yeah. It's up a little bit today, 7.4%. Good. Well, nice. When did you get into those, Dan? When did you buy those?
I first bought probably around October last year, just a small amount just to keep an eye on it. And then kind of gradually added going into the results, and then have added subsequent to that as well. So it's I've got a pretty sizable holding there now.
Marvellous. Okay, and any others?
Yeah, the other one that I've been adding to recently, there's a couple actually. I mean, one of them is Westminster Security Group, my old nemesis. But they went to I went to the AGM recently, and they also announced that they are going to give an update in July regarding the contractual negotiations that they're having, and they have one particularly large airport contract that they're negotiating at the moment. Which, you know, if that drops in, it can kind of suddenly makes all the other ones real as well. And that one itself is pretty special. So I've been adding to my position there. So, you know, we've got short term news flow on that one. So that's what I've been doing.
I was looking at a chart. Let's say WSG. So that's 15 pence. Oh, that's quite nice, actually. They've popped up, but they've consolidated a little bit now, just around that 200 day moving average. So that looks quite promising, you know.
Yeah. Well, I think as we head further into July, that one will continue to build up. So I think that'll be time to 25p by the time we get to news. That's my initial target on that. And then once news comes, I mean, it really could go anywhere. So
yeah.
And the other thing is that Hargreaves Howe have backed them as well, and had after some fairly sort of lengthy negotiations and chats. So I just think, you know, they're not going to throw good money after bad on this one. Hopeful for that.
Yeah.
And the other one is a company called Management Resource Solutions, which is the ticker is MRS. So it's an Australia, it's a Queensland-based provider of project management services and personnel, mainly for the construction industry and oil and gas industry. And I've been in these before, actually. I was in them when they led up to suspension last year, when they had an aborted reverse takeover. But I just think the market cap on this one is tiny. I mean, as I say, it's 3.5 million market cap. They recently acquired a company called Backman Plant Hire, which will boost the revenues up. The business is fundamentally profitable. And they're also winning business as well. I mean, on the 26th of May, they announced that they've won a 6 million Aussie dollar contract. And during that RNS as well, they said that there's a couple of other tenders that they're looking at the moment. And so I'm hopeful they'll get other contracts soon.
Yeah, I'm just looking at a note here from Northland Capital Partners. And they give it quite a bullish say, is contract win for which demonstrates the ability to win tenders in areas of business. And they also appreciably provides additional scale to the business. Yeah. So yes. It's, what about cash? And do you know what cash they've got there, or the?
I think at the last results, the cash was around about $900,000, something like that. But I would have expected that to increase now, following the contract wins that they've had. And then this sort of went up post when it came out of suspension. It shot up from sort of 9-10p up to about 32p, something like that. It's now dropped back down to 9p. There's been a seller. There was another big sell this morning of 150,000 shares. So that's kind of held it back as well. But sooner or later, that seller's going to run out, and it should push on from there.
Yeah, do you know what? I do like the chart on this, because it hasn't rallied hardly at all. It's bumping along, you know, and you can see it's got a support level there. And it's one of those things that can just pop, and it's just, like today, it has just gone above the 50-day moving average. And I know Zach comes on, and he's a big fan of that. He said if a price can stay above initially that 50-day moving average, there's a good chance of a further move up. You know, all it needs to do is clear that almost 10.4 level, stay above that, and it's on the way up. So I do like the chart on that. It's almost under the radar, isn't it? It hasn't been bought up, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And I just think the fundamentals are very strong on it. The business is growing, but by acquisition, but also by winning contracts. And I think there's plenty of headroom on it. There's no reason why it shouldn't revisit that sort of 30p mark and then go on from there. And, you know, that in itself would be a you know, a 300% return. So it's, you know, definitely one to look at.
Yeah, well, listen, they are three I've just added to my Vox Markets watch list. MBO, WSG was on there anyway, and Mrs. I like the ticker there.
That's a great one, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, it always helps though when you need to remember a stock. You know, I think certain stocks stick in your mind, and
you can't forget the Mrs., can you?
You can never forget the Mrs. Yeah, marvelous, Dan. Thanks very much, fella. Speak next month.
Cheers, Justin. Take care.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is CEO of Brand Communications, Alan Green. You all right, Al?
Good morning, Justin. I'm very good.
Yeah, you're heading up to London, I think, tomorrow, as am I. Oh, hang on. There's someone there called me already. Hang on, who's there?
Oh.
Well, I'll get back to them. Okay. Yeah, so for the momentous events, Big Gibbs event.
Yes, indeed. I'll be going. You may remember a few weeks ago we spoke about Sabian Technology, and we'll be chatting about them again in a second. But I put them in touch with Wayne and at Momentous Events, and they'll be there. So I'm going to go and see them, and going to catch up with a lot of other people there. But it should be a great event. Actually, there's I think well over 200 people expected to go, 200 investors expected to go. So the companies that are going will certainly have a chance to add to their coffers.
Marvellous. Yeah, should be good. What are your thoughts on Theresa May?
Well, as we said last time, I think Theresa May is the best. She's the best person for the job right now. Comparisons with Maggie Thatcher are perhaps a little too premature, but she's certainly got a steely reputation, and I think it's what the country needs. We need strong leadership, we need decisive leadership, and we need somebody who is a strong negotiator, and she's that person. Whether, of course, she'll invoke Article 50, as we've discussed on many occasions, has yet to be seen. But I think she's the best person for the job, given the current candidates on offer. And clearly, Gove and Boris are long gone. So Theresa's the girl.
Yeah, I think she's got a steady hand there on the tiller. You know, and I do like about her is that she doesn't curry favour. She doesn't try to be like David Cameron, you know, from the upper class guy, but always tried to be almost the working man, rolling his sleeves up, tucking his tie in. But I thought, Dave, listen, fella, you're upper class, you know, don't try and be something you're not. Whereas I think with Theresa May, she doesn't care. She just wants to get the job done. And I quite like that, you know.
Well, she wants to get the job done. The sort of comparisons with Maggie Thatcher, you know, Maggie was a grocer's daughter from Grantham. You know, Theresa May's had that sort of upbringing too. So a lot of similarities there. And I think that will resonate with a lot of voters, particularly in the north of the country, where they probably feel more disenfranchised than we do down here.
Mm, marvellous. Well, let's move on to some stocks. What are we talking about? Sabian Technology, yeah?
Yeah, Sabian Technology. You listeners will remember we spoke about this a couple of weeks ago. This is a company that has...
Well, you say that, Al. I can't remember it. What's the ticker here?
Ticker code is SNT. They're AIM listed. It's been a quiet year. They're still trading at their year low at 4p. Very widespread at the moment. Although I suspect as the interest grows, that will tighten up. Worth 1.7 million currently market cap. The company has a device which increases the efficiency of boilers. That's commercial boilers, and pays for itself within 2 years. Which, given that the normal payback time for these sort of devices is 3 years, is quite encouraging. There is a note on the brand website, which I think I have sent people out before, which was the note written by John Levinson. Just to go back to the point we made at the start, they are attending Momentous Events tomorrow night. The chief executive Alan O'Brien and the finance director Gus Orchard will both be there. So go and have a chat with them. They'll have brochures and so on their stand, so you can find out what the company do and all the rest of it. So it should be of real interest. But they've also issued an update today. As of today's date, sales pipeline standing at 12.5 million, which compares with 11.5 million at the update on the 2nd of June. So that's pretty good. So within a month, they've moved it up by another £1 million. So that should, I would expect, would have an impact impact on the share price fairly shortly. They've completed a number of pilots in the UK, and there are several other pilot schemes still running. The company's also signed a 10-year agreement with Endo Enterprises to act as sole distributor in the UK for its product too. So things are certainly moving on there. Like I say, going to momentous events tomorrow night, and you can talk to the directors themselves and find out more. But this is an exciting company with a promising future.
Marvellous. And you were saying you want to touch on Edenville, who I know I covered with Zach earlier on. They had a bit of news out about an update on their Rookwood to Coal to Power project there.
They did indeed. An RNS out early today. Work is continuing. Work has started on the next stage of the power plant environment and the social impact assessment scheme. So things are moving on a pace there. They're also taking samples of the coal from the Rukwa coal fields to Johannesburg so they can assess the actual quality of the coal, and we'll have a report on that probably towards the end of next month. But what's always interested me about this, we've got a market cap currently of 2.8 million. Share price is at about 0.2p. The potential the JORC estimate for the coal fields combined is 173 million tons, and given that the Mundi index logged the most recent coal sales at $57 a ton, that gives you some idea that if they make this fly, and if they get if the coal is of sufficient quality, then there's going to be a massive re-rating in the valuation of the company. But clearly, you know, we're still some way off from that. But it's worth keeping an eye on what coal's selling for, because the sale price of coal from Tanzania or in Tanzania currently is on the up. So that's also an encouraging sign too. But yeah, progress apace there. Clearly, it is a bit of a jam tomorrow stop. But I like the look of this company too. I think there's an awful lot of potential there. And if we see the results from the sample batch in line and progress is made, and they start to get into mining that coal.
Sorry, that's Theresa May there, sorry.
Theresa May, momentous events, it's all happening.
So
that's Edenville Energy. Epic code is EDL, 2.8 million at the moment, 173 million tonnes in their resource, and which is currently selling for $57 a tonne, so do the math.
Yeah, well, I can't. I'm math illiterate on that level, anyway. But I'll need a calculator. I haven't got one here.
It's about $10 billion anyway. But
wow.
But yeah.
Okay,
so,
there we are. Yeah. All right, marvellous. And you're going to give a quick touch on ADL?
Yes, indeed. ADL, we had a sort of little meeting with the guys yesterday. Nothing else to report at present. There will be sort of news flow in the very near future. But there's a story out yesterday that really caught our attention, and that was that BP is to go ahead with an $8 billion liquid natural gas project in Indonesia. So it's spending $8 billion into Indonesia, and that obviously follows on the back of the update from Andalas previously, where they looked at the mobile power units that were in place to try to address this critical power shortage in the region. And clearly, given that BP also see the same, they're investing that money. It just really illustrates the potential of the region. And as Andalas move forward and the Tuba OB East project develops, then again, I think we'll see that project come to fruition, and investors that are still sitting on a loss should see the status quo restored.
Hopefully. Well, I mean, a major like that certainly does prove up or underline the proof of concept that they're pursuing, doesn't it, I suppose?
That's the main thing. You know, I think investors have to stand back from the company. Everything's analysts in the update said that everything was progressing to plan. So we know that's happening. But take a step back from that. Look at the region. Is the potential still there in the region? Yes, it is, because BP are going ahead with an $8 billion liquid natural gas project in the region, all for the same reason, and that is to address the fundamental power shortages.
Marvellous. Thanks very much, Al. See you tomorrow.
Thanks, Josh. See you tomorrow evening.
Okay, today's penny stock with potential. This is suggested by Ant. Now, at this section of the show, I like it because a lot of research goes into it, but I have to point out, these are investment ideas. Some ideas take off, some are phenomenal, some don't. Like I said, with everything on the podcast, please do your own research. Don't just go buying on someone else's research. Look into the company yourself, weigh it up, and then apply, you know, appropriate risk, reward elements there. Okay, Ant suggests Providence Resources. What does the company do? Offshore oil exploration going into production, hopefully. How many shares does the company have in issue? 140 million. As yet, but they are, you know, conducting a placing at the moment, and it'll be cleared by the EGM. So currently, the company is 6.8 million market cap. It will be bigger than that, obviously, and 12 pence is the share price. How much cash or debt does the company have? Subject to the EGM, the placing offer is to raise gross proceeds of 53.7 million, and the open offer is to raise gross proceeds of up to 4.8 million euro. The funds will be used to retire the Melody debt of $20 million, make payment to Transocean, provide working capital to finance the company's cost of drilling the Druid exploration well in 2017. There's three reasons why you think this company has potential. Number one, recent placing clearing debt was priced to go bust, failing a JV collapse, now completely turned around and looking strong. Reason two, recent placing has funded the company into drilling previously unachievable well. And three, potential return is significant. See the RNSs. Yes, please read RNSs there. Since 2007, Providence has invested around about $190 million in its licenses offshore island, material exploration and appraisal resource base, circa 358 million barrels of oil equivalent, net audited 2C contingent resources, and this is circa 4,790 million gross unrisked prospective resources. So, like I said, there's a lot there, a lot of big asset there, which they're looking to drill and prove up. Check that out, Providence Resources, that's PVR. Do your own research, please. Here are the broker buys and sells today. Just three buys I've got. Citigroup has upgraded De La Rue to buy, price target £6.30. Gemfields has got a buy rating on it as well from Peel Hunt. Price target from 70 to 78 pence. And Berenberg has a buy rating on ASOS. Raises price target from 41 to 51 pounds. That's it for the podcast. Thanks for listening. Muchos appreciado.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
The people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Don't buy anything based solely on tip or recommendation you hear. Please do your own research.